You know we're ready for Christmas, a special season. Our Advent candle, our first candle is lit. We've sung our first Christmas carols. We know the season of Christmas is upon us. But there's another special season that we celebrate at this time of year. And that is the season of Lottie Moon. In 2 weeks, we're going to be receiving our Lottie Moon offering. We're going to come together on December the 16th. We're going to bring our offerings together. Our goal is $60,000. That's a challenging goal, but it's one we're going to reach together. And I'm looking forward to it. Lottie Moon is the time when we concentrate on the call to support our missionaries and the International Mission Board and those who carry the gospel around the world. And so I want to challenge you to begin thinking about how you're going to be a part of what God is doing through First Baptist Church. Because missions are important at First Baptist Church. Not only because we tithe together as a church as we give to the cooperative program. And maybe you don't know that. Maybe you don't know that every week as we receive our offering, 10% of that money is set aside and it's sent to Southern Baptist so that we can support the work of all of the Southern Baptist entities, our mission boards, our seminaries, the ministries that are going on through Southern Baptist life. Every week we tithe to our convention. Not only because we set sacrificial goals that will help us reach that offering that we're aiming toward together, we also have many folks in our church that have been personally involved in missions outreach this year. Some have been involved in mission trips to Africa, some to India. We have a group that's planning a trip to Canada this coming summer. Some have been away doing construction missions this summer. Others participated in medical mission trips to reach international people down in Montgomery. Our youth participated in World Changers, not to mention the ministries of the Hutchins and the Bargers and the Bouchers, who are all part of our church family and have been a part of those called missionaries that God sets aside. This morning, the Lord wants me to share with you a message about missions. Not so much about the what of our commitment to missions, but more about the why. Why are missions so important to us as a church? Why should we be so committed in money and time and effort to the task of missions? You would think the answer to that kind of big question would be a complicated answer, that it would take a long time to explain. But you know, here's what the Bible tells us. Jesus did it in a single sentence. And in fact, His command is to guide every action and every activity and every ministry of our church, as well as missions. Are you ready to hear that single sentence? Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So what does Jesus tell us when it comes to missions and First Baptist Church and Southern Baptist everywhere? What does the Lord say? Well, He tells us there are three things we are to do. First, it says we are to go. God calls His people to go into a world that needs to know that Jesus cares and Jesus saves. You know, in the time of Christ, the Greeks were really very familiar with the legend of a man named Diogenes. Diogenes was the man that you may have seen pictures of now and then. He was the man who wandered the world carrying a lamp looking for a righteous man. And the story is that he spent his lifetime in a vain quest to find someone who was worthy to be called righteous. Jesus tells us we are to take up our own lamps. And we are to go, not to find the light, but to shine the light. In fact, Jesus reminds us that we are called to be seekers in the name of Jesus. Go, therefore, into all the world. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel. We are to go. We are to find those who have no light and shine the light. Isaiah 9:2 described Christ coming this way. It said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And that reminds us that when the Lord sent his son, that when Jesus came, he didn't come so we could have a baby in a manger. He didn't come so we could remember a journey to Bethlehem. He didn't come so angels could declare his coming. He came because we had a whole world that was lost in darkness. Think about those shepherds, some of the first witnesses to the coming of God's Son. The Bible talks about how they were on a hillside watching their sheep by night. But you know, the truth is, they weren't watching their sheep at all. You know why? Because it was dark. It was darker than you and I can imagine. You know, living in Birmingham these days, we can walk outside our door and we can look around and we can say, "It sure is dark tonight." But it's not, is it? Because all around us are lights, street lights, lights inside our home, lights of a city on the horizon. There's always something that shines the light. But you think about the fact that those shepherds on that hillside so long ago dwelt in absolute darkness. No wonder they were terrified when the angels came. It was not just the sound, it was the light. And the Bible reminds us that we live in a world that is filled with darkness. Not physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. That there are whole portions of the world today where it is impossible to carry the gospel. And yet God calls people to accomplish the impossible. And they are the missionaries that we support when we give our Lottie Moon offering. We are sending people into the darkness to carry the light. Because Jesus tells us we are called to carry the light wherever darkness has blinded human hearts, wherever sinners are in need of grace, wherever hearts are broken and looking for hope, wherever souls need salvation. What does he say? He says we are to go. We are to go into all the world. The Bible reminds us that the mission field of the Church of Jesus is unlimited. We are to carry the good news wherever lost people need its saving touch. You know, in the world, God divides the people into two kinds of folks. There are those he is trying to save and those he is not trying to save. Those who he is trying to save are those who are lost in darkness. Those who need hope, those who are hungry for salvation, who need to experience the grace of Jesus. Those he is not trying to save are the ones who already know him, who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, who have a living relationship with Christ. But if you don't know him, he so wants you. Whoever you are, wherever you are around this world, he so wants you. We're to go where people need to be saved, where lost people need the touch of Christ. We're to go as far as the most isolated people in the most remote of regions. We're to go as near as next door and even into our own homes. We're to go to the multitudes, but we're also called to go to the one. We're called to go wherever there are people who need to know that Jesus came to save. We're to go into all the world, but the Bible also says we are all to go. When Jesus said go, it was an inclusive command. He was saying that not to one or two or three, but to all of them. Go into the world. That doesn't mean everybody has to be a missionary. It doesn't mean everybody has to be a preacher. It does mean all of us can share the good news of his love. Now, you find the way that you are comfortable carrying the light. Some people are absolutely comfortable proclaiming. I'm standing right here this morning in one of the most comfortable places in the world as far as I'm concerned. In fact, this is one of those places that I love to be. Some people are comfortable proclaiming. Other people wouldn't want to be here for $1,000. But you're very comfortable sitting down with one other person and talking to them about what the Lord can do in their lives, about what Jesus has done for you. Some people are very comfortable exercising gifts of mercy, showing God's love and care for people. Some are very comfortable sharing a word of encouragement from God's word that will let people know He really cares, He really loves you. The Bible tells us that all of us, have been equipped in some way by God to carry the light. And you find your way and you share His word. The secret is to ask yourself this question: what can I do to intentionally reveal the love of Christ? Now, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, you hear that statement. What can I do to intentionally share, reveal the love of Christ? Because if you ask Him to show you, He will. We are to go. The second thing Jesus says is this. He says, and we are to make disciples. Leading people to Christ is not always a dramatic event. Not everybody makes a split-second decision to trust Jesus. Salvation doesn't always come because for the very first time somebody hears the gospel, and in hearing the gospel, suddenly they say to themselves, that's it. That's what I need. That's what I want. I'm going to trust Him. Sometimes it takes weeks and months and years of faithful witness before somebody comes to know Jesus Christ. I have a missionary friend whose testimony is that the International Mission Board sent he and his wife to a remote place far off in another part of the world, and there they lived for 7 years before they ever saw one person come to know the Savior. 7 years before they began to see the Lord move. That's one of the reasons I'm so grateful for the way we do missions together as Southern Baptists. Because there are a lot of missions agencies out there, and they are so focused on you've got to have instant results. It's got to happen right away. We're going to send you somewhere, we're going to plant you in that place, and we're going to expect a year from now, we're going to see a lot of results. But you know what? There's a lot of lost people in a lot of places in the world, including right here where we live, where that's just not going to happen. Where people are not going to come to know Jesus on an instant basis. And one of the things I'm grateful for our International Mission Board, is that we have the means and the system where we can plant people. And we can allow them to be faithful and build relationships and talk to people and get to know them and earn their trust and lead them to Jesus. Often when you find someone coming to Christ, if you look backwards in their life, what you'll find is there's a chain of influencers who have been a part of their decision. We are tempted to think the only person that really leads someone to Christ is that last person, the one who gets to be with them when they pray to invite Jesus to be their Savior. But you know, most of the time, there's a whole chain of people who have touched their lives before that moment. Parents, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, Sunday school teachers, church staff, all kinds of folks who have been involved. Every one of them a link in a chain. Every one of them moving them another step forward so that the time could come when they would give their lives to Christ. New believers are surrounded by a community of faith that has been loving them and leading them to Christ, that's going to surround them and help them to become deeper in their walk. And it is that community of faith that is part of the second dimension of Christ's command. What does He say? He says you are to reach people for Christ and you are to baptize them. Why is it so important that a person be baptized? Why are we instructed to lead someone to Christ and then baptize them in His name? Well, I could give you a lot of reasons. Like baptism is a symbol of new birth. Baptism is an act of obedience. Baptism as an imitation of the example of Christ himself. But there's something else that happens when someone is baptized. Something that is very important to their growth as a disciple. You see, when you baptize someone following salvation, you baptize them into his church. That's why if you receive Christ and you come to me and you say, I've trusted Jesus and I want to follow him and I want to be baptized, so I'll be here at 1 o'clock Thursday afternoon and you have the water ready and you have things prepared and we'll just go in there, just the two of us, and we'll have baptism. You know why we don't do things that way? You know why, if you're baptized in the name of Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come on Sunday and we're going to make it a part, an essential part, the first part of our worship, and we're going to build it in so it's really something special and we're going to celebrate with you your salvation. You know why? Because we're bringing you in to the fellowship, bringing you into the church of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol that you're part of God's people. When Jesus told his disciples to baptize believers, he was saying we are to lead people to Christ and bring them into the family. Is anything more essential for a new believer than to know you have a place where you belong, where you're going to be prayed for, where you can worship, where you can serve, where you can grow in Christ? One of the things that our missionaries are committed to doing is immersing themselves in the churches they serve. You know, one of the things you'll find when you go out to see our missionaries as they serve on the field is they don't hide from the people they're serving and walk out for an hour and proclaim a message and then withdraw, retreat back into that place that keeps them apart from everybody. No, they immerse themselves. I truly enjoyed when we made our trip down to Peru, that we were down with the Bargers, and the Bargers carried us to their home church there in the city of Lima, and we went to church with them, and we went to a service there, and their pastor stuck his microphone right in my face while we were singing a song, which I can't do in a language that I can't speak. But I still did my best, which may be why I haven't been invited back. I don't know. What I loved, though, was watching the Barger family, watching Donnie and Jennifer and their kids, not ministering at those people, but going in and just being at home. Just loving people and caring for people and calling people by name and talking about what's been going on in their lives and just being invested in who they were. Because that's what we're supposed to do. One of the things I'm so grateful for our church staff right here at First Baptist is that Sunday by Sunday, when the service is done and everybody's leaving, you'll find our whole staff out there in the lobby. Just talking and visiting, and you know, I'm the one that stands at the door, but everybody else is everywhere. Ministering to people, loving people, because that's what we do. We make disciples by interacting with people. And that's where missions takes place as well, that we are able to send missionaries and they're able to immerse themselves in people and get to know people and relate to people and understand people and be ready when the opportunity comes to lead people to know and follow Jesus. And then finally, Jesus said, we are called to bring believers into maturity. Coming to Jesus is not the end of the spiritual process. It's just the beginning. Jesus has commanded us to give believers the tools to become fully functional disciples. That's why he said we are to teach them all I commanded you. All. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? All, everything, nothing held back. We are commissioned to teach believers how to know Christ more, how to walk with him, how to grow in his word, how to be led by his Holy Spirit. That's the genius of the way Southern Baptists do missions. There's real value in going on a mission trip. Those of you who have been on mission trips will be willing to stand and share. It's a life-changing experience. There's real value in going somewhere and being able to stay there for a week or 2 weeks or a month. You may go somewhere else in this world and have the privilege of leading people to Christ who will be saved for eternity. There's so much you can do on a missions trip. But there's one thing you cannot do. You cannot disciple believers and equip leaders in a short amount of time. That's the job of those who are called to be committed for the long haul. When we give to Lottie Moon, we make it possible for missionaries to be disciplers, to live among people and share life with them and earn their trust and lead them on to maturity. Their great calling is not to go somewhere and reach people and minister to them until the time comes for you to go home, after which they're on their own. The calling is you go somewhere, you work with people, you share with people, you equip people, you challenge people. And when you leave, these people are strong believers who now carry on their church without you, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus commands us to help people grow. What does he say? Teach them what God's perfect word says. Teach them how to apply his word to their daily living. Teach them how to serve the Lord. Teach them so the world will know that Jesus saves. Jesus calls us to be a church on mission, to go, to tell, to teach, to give, to let the world know that Jesus saves. So in a couple of weeks, when we bring our Lottie Moon offering, and we put it together here at the front, and we have a committee that will take it and count it, and we will receive a report, and they come to say, you know, it's amazing. God moved. We reached our goal. We don't say, good for us. What a great job we have done. What faithful people we are. Instead, we say, thank you, God, that we're faithful to the call. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, teaching them, preparing them, equipping them. God, help us to be faithful. Now, this morning, I would not be faithful if I concluded this sermon with an assumption that this is a decision that all of us in this room have made, that everybody here has made a decision to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to follow Jesus Christ as their individual Lord. Because you may be here this morning and you've never trusted Him. You know about Him, you believe about Him, you've heard about Him. But there's never been that time in your life when you said to Jesus Christ, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me eternal life. Let me live for you. Maybe today is the day when you need to trust Jesus. And if you're here and you need to trust Him, in just a moment, we're going to be singing an invitation hymn. We'll be standing together, and I'm going to be here at the front, and Rich is going to be here at the front. And if you want to know Jesus as Savior, all you've got to do is come and say to one of us, today's the day. God is moving in my life. I need to give my heart to Christ. If that's what God wants you to do, you'll feel Him stirring. And you come, you don't have to know it all. We'll help you to know what you need to know. But you come. Or maybe God is telling you, this is the place where I want you to serve me. This is a church where I want you to plant your membership and invest your life and bless and be blessed. And this is where I want you to be. And today you need to come because he's moving you to become part of this fellowship. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. And God's moving you to come. What I'm telling you is, whatever may be happening, if his Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you be obedient and you come. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our invitation.